Okay, morning. So we are holding Shabbos Daf Kuf Tez Zayin of Abayz. We just reached up to the Mishnah. Today's Daf Shabbos Kuf Yud Zayin. So we have a little bit to catch up. It goes relatively quickly. Just to go over one quick halacha that we didn't get a chance to speak at yesterday. So we were discussing yesterday about Sifrei Minas, that Sifrei Minas don't have Kedusha. Even Svarim, Sifrei Torah, that are written word for word, like it says in the Torah, but it was written by these Rashi El Domino, the people that serve Avodah Zarah, or the Ritva explains, Talmidim of Yeshu. So they actually went to Machlokes, whether you just don't save them from a fire, whether you cut out the Shmeis of Azgur, that was the first Shita. Rabbi Yossi said, you cut out the Shem Hashem, and you burn the rest. And we had Rabbi Tarfon says, burn the whole thing, has no Kedusha at all. That was the discussion we had yesterday. So there's a discussion, Halach Lameisa, with regards to, what about a publishing press of Goyim? So Rabbi Yashav, Zatzal Paskin, let's say you have Goyim, even missionaries that are have a printing press and they print Sifrei Tanakh. So they're not actually writing it themselves. They're simply just they're overseeing and selling, trying to profit off the printing of Tanakh. Rabbi Ashraf held that the person who's working in the print shop has no idea about the content. He's not really concerned about what's written inside it. He has no intent. There's no machshavas in his engagement in the printing. He's there to make a dollar, and therefore such a printing would be permissible. One can buy Sifrei Tanakh, theoretically, if that's the option, if that's an opportunity to get it. He can buy it from a missionary or from some sort of other religion source, and that's not problematic. He actually brings a raya, Rabbi Asher brought a raya that he himself saw, that Rav Benga Zatzal had a Sefer Tanakh that was given to him, or that was able to purchase, that had a tselem, had a cross on the cover or in the front of this Tanakh. He cut out the page with the tselem, he cut out the cross, and he kept the Rav Benga Zatzal kept the Tanakh, and he used it because he saw that the Tanakh was really just printed by some company that unfortunately had a different belief, a different worship, but there was no intent in the actual printing or ksiva of this Tanakh, and therefore it's permissible. So Rabbi Asher Pasuk Lamaisa, again, if a printing press is owned by a source which is considered apikarsis, but there is no intent in the writing, in the printing of it, then there wouldn't be an issue with using such a sefer, such a Tanakh. Okay, Zak the Mishnah. When we say you're allowed to go save Kifr Sifrei Kodesh from a fire on Shabbos, you're allowed to save also the cover of the Sefer Torah with the Sefer Tikkun Torah Mitzvah, and the cover of Tefillin Mitzvah is able to be saved as well. Now the Chiddush is, even if these covers have money in it, so they also have Muktzah, and that's going to be a big topic in the Gemara coming up, even though there's money in there, still you could save it. To where can we save these items? Only to a Mavi that's not open. Argues and says, no, even to Mavim Mefulish. So what exactly is meant by Mavim Mefulish and Mavim Mefulish? The Gemara is going to discuss later in the daf what exactly our Mishnah means by that. Just a classic in Masechtas Erevin, the Mavim Mefulish means a Mavi that has two walls. There's two walls throughout the Mavi. You have all the Chatzerim opening up into the Mavi. The Mavi is walled on two sides, and then open on the other two sides. That's classic Mavim Mefulish. Einam Mefulish means it's not open on two sides. That's classic. In our Sugya, we're going to explain that it means different, because the Gemara takes for granted that carrying these items into a Mavi Mefulish, a Mavi that's open on two sides, no one would permit. It resembles too much carrying it to Shisrabim, and no one would permit it, not even Mebeseira. So the Madrega of Mavi Mefulish, Einam Mefulish, has to be at least a Madrega up, a little more secure, a little more secluded. The Gemara is going to describe exactly what that is. We'll see shortly. But first, the Gemara goes into a conversation, seemingly completely unrelated to our Mishnah, about how much one is allowed to flay an animal, take off this hide of a korban, the korban Pesach specifically, on Erev Pesach that falls down on Shabbos. How much of the flaying of the animal can be done on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, and the Gemara is somehow going to tie back that machlekes to our Mishnah. Let's see. Tanaban. Arba Asa Shecholeis B'Shabbos, when the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, which means Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, Mavshitin, so of course you shall korban Pesach, Mavshitin as the Pesach Adachaza. So you're only able to flay the korban Pesach to take off the hide up as far as the chaz, as far as the breast. Why? Because that's enough that now you can access all the murim, all of whatever you need to access to put in the mizbeach. So you can't do more flaying than necessary. That's Rishmael Benesh, the son of Rechem Breka Shita. However, Rechamim and Chama argue, and they say mafshitin as kulay. You can be mafshit the entirety. You can be mafshit the animal all the way. And the Mar is going to explain the machlekes. it makes sense that you're only able to flay up to the breast area, the chaza area, like we said, to save the tzarkavaya, because what you're doing needs to be done, the tzarkavaya, it needs to be done to access all of the parts of the animal that go on the mizbeach, and therefore, that amount that he's doing is mutter. Flaying more than that would be considered his personal need of flaying the animal further to access the meat, more meat, which is only for personal needs, and he can't do that on Shabbos. Elo rabbanan my time, but what's takim shakot rabbanan? Why are we enabling to flay the animal? Why is it mutter to flay the animal all the way past the breast in its entirety, which makes the meat more accessible, but for gavaya purposes, it's sufficient to flay it up to the breast. It says when we serve Hashem, wants that things should be done properly for His covet. So somehow flaying it all the way is more of a covet. The Mar explains, why is there more of a shem shemayim covet shem shemayim by flaying it all the way? How is that explanation for the Rabbanan? Gemara gives two explanations in this. Because if you leave the hide on partially, all the way, if you only flay it to the breast area and leave the rest of the hide on, it will cause the animal to spoil faster. And therefore, you're flaying it for the covet of Hashem, for the covet of the carbon, because flaying is not just for personal benefit to be able to access the meat easier later. Rather, flaying it also prevents it from becoming spoiled. Letting it become spoiled is a problem by a kachem. It says it's designed for the kachem. And therefore, it's also considered the shem shemayim to flay it fully. That is Rabbi Yosef's explanation in Lamaneo, according to Rabbanan. Rav says no. Shlei kachish shemayim matalik an avela. When you only flay it halfway, it just looks like a dead carcass of animal. It looks like an avela. When you flay it all the way, then it looks like there's a purposeful shchita. It looks like a purposeful carbon. It's more respectable. When you flay it only part way, it looks like a avela. That is the chesaron, and that's a lack of covet for a carbon of shemayim. Says the Marmai Benayah. What's the difference these two explanations? So again, we have two explanations according to Rabbanan. Why you let it flay it all the way, even if you don't need to flay it all the way to get off to access the emurim? You let it flay all the way because of the lamaneo, because of the sake of Hashem, because of the covet of Hashem. We have two explanations of what that is. What is that sake of Hashem? Either that shouldn't spoil, it's abusive, or Rava says that it shouldn't look like an avela. My benayah, what's the nafkamina between these two explanations, Rava and abusive? Mark brings two nafkaminas. First of all, like a benayah, the manach absurdava, if it's placed on a table of gold. If you place on a table of gold, so it's not going to change anything with regard to spoiling. Abusive for us still applies. That would be concerned if you leave the skin, the hide partially on, it's going to spoil faster. That still applies even if it's not on a golden table. But Rava as far that it looks like this carpet looks like an abandoned novella, because it's if the hide is still on, it looks like an abandoned novella. When you're putting it on a gold table, clearly you're giving chashivas, it does not look like an abandoned novella. You wouldn't put an abandoned novella on a gold table. So the gold table would change the status according to Rav. It wouldn't be an issue. You would no longer have to flay it all the way. You'd no longer be able to flay it all the way. According to Basif, you could still flay it all the way. Or another afkmina, inami, yami distana, a day where you have the northern wind. When the northern wind blows, it's interesting. You think, like we know today, the colder it is, things don't spoil. The way they actually explain it is that it's not too cold or too warm. It's the perfect temperature that the meat will remain perfectly fresh. Apparently cold can be an issue also. It'll remain perfectly fresh and it won't spoil. So if you have the northern wind, the day it's blowing, but you're not scared it's going to spoil at all the meat, you don't have Rava's concern of the meat spoiling, but you don't have Rabbi Yosef's concern of the meat spoiling, but you still have Rava's concern that it looks like an avela. So over there, in the second afternoon, you'd still be able to flay it according to Rava. You would no longer be able to flay it according to your Yosef. Okay. Says the Gemara.
Yeah, just a question. The Gemara only seems to be concerned about the Emurid. What about...
You're only eating it at night. So you flay it after Matzah Shabbos. Yeah, you flay Matzah Shabbos. To that point, we'll see something more. I mean, the Gemara is going to connect it back to our Mishnah and get involved with Muktzah. And with regard to Muktzah, that's the Gemara is assuming the Gemara is calling the meat itself a Muktzah. We'll see, according to Rashi, Muktzah till Matzah Shabbos, because you can only prepare it really after Shabbos. Anyway, on Matzah Shabbos, when you eat the Karban Pesach on Yom Tov, that's when you can prepare it. We'll see. So says Gemara, you've explained the, according to Rabbanan, the reason why you can flay the animal the whole way is because the Pasuk called Pal Hashem Lamaneu for the honor of Hashem. So what does Rishon Bereishis Merech Merech do with that Pasuk? How does he take care of that pasuk in regard to his pasuk? They can only flay it to the breast area. What does he do with this pasuk? Technically, you could try to do like a little bit of a surgery, and instead of flaying the animal even up to the breast, you could try to remove the emurim by sticking hands in while the hide is still on and remove it even without flaying it to the breast area. Maybe that'll be okay. That'll be even better. Maybe that'll be laudable according to Rabbi Shmuel Ben Eishah Merech Merech. So the answer is that no, you can't do that. that. My time, why not? Because the pasuk called Parsha Mamaneo. It's not bakavadik. Why is it not bakavadik? Because if you leave the hide on and you extract the emurim while the hide is still on and not flayed at all, it's going to end up getting hairs and wool and whatever it is, whatever the animal, the kikar pesach is wool. You're going to end up getting hairs, the neman of the animal on the emurim before it goes to mizbeach, and that's disgusting. It takes away from the beauty of the carbon, and therefore he uses the pasuk of kol pashal meo as well to say that you're allowed to flay it only till the breast, and you should flay it to the breast and not try to extract it without flaying it till at least that part. That's according to Rabbi Shmuel Benayshel Rabbi Chaim Breika. Okay, so seemingly we have this very interesting machlekes. One second, we seemingly have this interesting machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel Benayshel Rabbi Chaim Breika and the Rabbanim with regard to flaying an animal on Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. At this point, it seems to have no shaykes to our Mishnah. Yet the Gemara is going to tie it back into the Mishnah right now with a riot to Rabbanim for the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Chizda Amar Ma'ukva Ma'aduri Le Chavraya the Rabbi Shmuel Benayshel Rabbi Chaim Breika. What did the Rabbanim answer as a response to Rabbi Shmuel Benayshel Rabbi Chaim Breika? Meaning, do they bring an argument to support their opinion against him? Yes. We have this Messiah. Here's what they said, and now we're going to end up having to spend 10 lines of Gemara figuring out what the right is from our Mishnah. But they said was, in Matzilin Tikka Sefer Masefer, if we see over here in Shabbos, on Kuf Design and Bays, you're allowed to save the cover of a Sefer with the Sefer, Lenavshas Pesach Ma'irei, should we not be able to flay the entire skin from the animal on, from the Pesach, on Shabbos, that's Erev Pesach? Says the Gemara, Midami, what's the connection? Hasam Talta. So just even before you see the Gemara's first question, there has to be some sort of explanation of what the Havmina was. So the explanation is that the assumption was that even though you're essentially being matir, that which is usher, extra for that which is mutter. So just like by Shabbos, we're allowing to take out the tick, and we even said in our Mishnah, the tick has money in it. So the Mar already knows now, the Mar is going to elaborate more on this fact that there's money in there, but even though the Mar already knows now that there's money in it, and still you're taking out the cover for the Sefer Torah, together with the Sefer Torah, so too you should be able to actually let me even take it back a step. So the money in there is a benefit for the person, not just for Kavod Shemayim. So too, flaying the animal's entirety while I'm doing Kavod Shemayim of flaying the animal, I'm also able to benefit for the person as well. Once I'm doing part that's L'shem Shemayim, I could do a part which is really benefiting the person as well. That's the Gemara's connection. I should be able to flay the animal and do more of the skinning the animal on Shabbos in order to which is going to benefit the person the same way I'm able to carry the Sefer Torah with the cover of course is covered Shemayim, but the money in the cover is not, and still I'm able to take it out, which is a benefit to the person. It's like Agav, once I'm doing the covered Shemayim, I can do it for a person as well. That is the seemingly at face value, the very bare connection. There's obvious chilek. One's a shayla of muktzah, and one's a shayla of malacha d'raisa. One's a shayla of flaying an animal, is a shayla of malacha d'raisa. Says the Gemara, mi dami hasam tiltil. Over there we're talking about tiltil, shayla muktzah. Hakam malacha v'esrog malacha d'raisa. The malacha of skinning hide, skinning animal, is one of the lamedas malachas. How could you compare d'rabban and muktzah to skinning the hide animal? Amar Ravashi b'tarti pliki. You're right. In order to make this raya for the Mishnah Shtim, you have to explain that Rav Shmuel and the Rabbanan were arguing two separate machlekes in pliki b'tiltil or pliki malacha. They were arguing both legabi tiltil, which is muktzah, and they also argued legabi malacha. It's talking two separate machlekes in, and the raya was not a raya legabi the malacha element. The raya was a raya legabi the tilt element. Fach kamalei, here's what the Rabbanan said to Rav Shmuel ben Reicha. They said to him, "In matzilin tik hasefer masefer. If you're allowed to save the cover of the sefer with the sefer." If I'm able to save the tick of the safer, even though there's money in there, should not be able to move the R agav baser. Meaning the Rabbi Shmuel ben Yisrael Berech America had a separate issue with Rabbanan. Besides for the issue of flaying the animal that they yelled that you can't flay more than it's absolutely needed, which is more than up to the breast. There's also a concern of muktzah. You're moving the R in Shabbos, which is moving the R around is muktzah. And on that the Rabbanan said, no, you should be able to move the R agav the bus, you can move the R the same way you're allowed to be able to move the tick with the money in it, agav the Sefer Torah, agav the part of the tick that's saving the Sefer Torah, I can move the tick even though the cover has in it money. So agav is mukta. That is the connection. So it's only connection that got me the muktzah machlekes, which wasn't clear in this price we quoted before. There's a muktzah machlekes aside from the flaying machlekes, and we're bringing it right to the muktzah element. Ask him our top of kufi zan amalaf, me dummy, hasam, how could you compare hasam nasabasalab amutter? How could you compare? By the Karm Pesach, it's a busis, the R is a busis to a Dover Aser. Rashi explains, what does that mean? It's a busis to the meat, and the meat itself is Aser, and to the point that Liam was starting to address before, the meat itself is Aser, because you cannot cook the meat on Shabbos. The meat is going to be eaten Matzah Shabbos, Leil Pesach, and you're only allowed to cook it and tend to it on Yom Tov on Matzah Shabbos. Right now, the meat is Muktzah. So it's the R itself is a basis to the Davar HaAser. Whereas over here in our Sugya, in our Mishnah, it's a basis to Davar Mutter. Why? Because it's a basis for the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is clearly Mutter to use on Shabbos, to move around to use on Shabbos. So this tick is a basis to Davar Mutter. So what's the comparison? Taisa just, Agav takes issue with Rashi calling the Basar itself. The buster itself, a usher, tastes is bothered and says, no, the lechera, the buster itself, tastes the fourth line on top, tastes the nearer the kulamad, buster mutter the taltal. Tastes argues that buster is mutter to be metaltal, even though it's very interesting. Buster that wasn't, shechted on before Shabbos, how is it mutter? Right? How's a mutter? Rashi says, or say better, even if it was shechted before Shabbos, raw meat you can't cook on Shabbos, which is why Rashi is saying it's considered muktzah because I can't utilize it on Shabbos. Tais says, even though you can't eat it, you can feed it to your dogs. So basar is not considered muktzah, even raw meat, which is interesting because over here we know Tais himself addresses it. We're talking about a carbon. A carbon you can't feed to the dogs. So how are you using the fact that basar can be fed to the dogs as a svar to say it's not muktzah when the svar itself is not fully applicable here because you can't feed this basar to the dog? Okay, but Tais says basar is not the issue. It's not considered basar. Because the basar itself is basar in general is muktzah on Shabbos raw meat. That's not what it is. Says Taisus in the fourth to last line. If Taisus had to come here, how could have basar davar aser? Hainu kaidim shenishkata. Remember when Shabbos started, this carbon Pesach wasn't shechted yet. You're not supposed to shechted till erev Pesach bein arbayim. So before it was shechted, then the R is a basar davar aser because all behemah is muktzah. A behemah is entirety is muktzah. So the skin wrapping around the behemah is a basar davar aser. The behemah itself as entirety is considered muktzah because when before shechted, it certainly was muktzah l'kulei alma. Okay, so that's a Tais learns the question. We'll go with Rashi's Malach. Rashi learns that by the case of the carbon, the ur is a basis to the meat, and the meat right now is muktzah because I can't use it on Shabbos. So therefore, what's the comparison to the case of tik? Even the gabi muktzah, you have no comparison. What's the Rabbanah's raya against Rabbi Shmuel? Even the gabi muktzah. Elach gamelei. This is what the Rabbanah said to Rabbi Shmuel. Im matzilin tik as shall sefer masefer afi sheish b'seichay moyes le'netaltal ur agav basar. Well, the Rabbanim was saying that if you could save the tick of the sefer with the sefer, even though there's money inside it, so certainly you should be able to tell to the R agabasar. Meaning, we know even though you're carrying something which is till now we're assuming that over there is a basar davar mutter by the tick. The tick is basar davar mutter because the tick is there to protect the sefer Torah, and therefore it's basar davar mutter. But it's not just a basar davar mutter; it's also a basar davar aser, namely the money. So we're using that element. The fact that I'm able to move the tick, even though it's a basar davar aser, namely the money, I should be able to move the R. Agav the basar, even though it's also a basas a davar haaser. Ask the Gemara midami, you still can't compare haaser nas a davar basas davar haaser ula davar mutter by the sefer Torah. Like you pointed out before, the cover certainly it's probably its primary usage is a cover for the sefer Torah, which is davar mutter. You're right; it's also a basas davar haaser, namely the money, but it's a basas davar mutter as well. So therefore, maybe that's what allows you to move it because of the mutter chelik shabai. Hacha kula nas a basas davar haaser. Here it's fully a basas davar haaser, so it's still stuck with these issues. How are we making comparisons? Forget about legabi flaying a machlekes, whether you can flay the full animal. We've already adjusted our machlekes. Say it's a new machlekes legabi rabbanan and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbeicham Amreika legabi muktzah. But even that, what's our comparison from our Mishnah to that machlekes? Elach kamerle. This is what the rabbanan said to Rabbi Shmuel. Im mevien tik sheyesh b'seichem ma'is ma'alma lahatz b'sefer Torah le'netal ta'ar agav basar. So here's a good. This svara is a good svara. Question is, what's the source of this svara? The rabbanan held that the same way I can go bring a tick from Malma, from not a tick, I'm not saving a sefer Torah with an existing cover on it, and the cover happens to have money. I can bring a cover that has money in it and go and cover the sefer Torah in order to go save in the fire. I could do that, and even though I'm moving the tick with money inside it, so I'm clearly moving a davar which is a basar l'davar ha'asar alone. There's no davar mutter there. Right now the tick is not on the sefer Torah, and I'm moving it on Shabbos alone to save the sefer Torah. So certainly by the R, I should be able to move the R agav di basar, which is also again a davar asar. Says the Gemara, he goof menolan. Very nice svara. You're right if it's true. But who told you that Yitaka allowed to go and move the tick? He allowed to go and move the cover of the sefer Torah, which is not on the sefer Torah and has money in it also in the pouch. Who says he's allowed to move it? Maybe he's not to move it. He grew from an island. If you say it's because The halach is that in our Mishnah we said you're allowed to take out the Sefer Torah with the cover, with the money in it, and we don't obligate you to shake the money out in that case before saving the Sefer Torah. So if that's the case, so the assumption is if I could take it out with the money inside, like taking off to shake out the money, then assume that I could bring a cover that has money inside it already to go cover the Sefer Torah when I save it. Me dummy, what's the comparison? Over there, there's no time. We're not mechuyev at any time in saving the Sefer Torah. So to go and empty out the money from the tick that's already on the Sefer Torah when you save the Sefer Torah, no, you just save the Sefer Torah and you leave the money inside it in our Mishnah's case. Whereas Hacha, in this new case that we're introducing, where you're bringing a tick to cover the Sefer Torah, apparently you have enough time to bring a tick to cover the Sefer Torah when you save it. So while you're traveling, while you're running with this cover to save the Sefer Torah, you can shake it upside down and get the money out in that case, and therefore you can't learn it from the Mishnah. So we might have an issue. You're trying to meet me a proof from a case which the Mishnah didn't say explicitly, and you're trying to infer from the Mishnah that you're allowed to take a cover separate from the Sefer Torah, bring it to the Sefer Torah, even though there's money in it, you have no proof that that's even the case. So what on earth is the Raya, the Gemara's connection from our Mishnah to this Machlokes Rabbanan and Rav Shmuel, which again started off with this conversation really about flaying an animal, and we kind of pivoted into a conversation, another Machlokes, which wasn't clear, about Muktzah, and we're trying to use that as the Raya for Mishnah. Gemara says, let's go back. Let's eliminate Muktzah from the conversation. Let's focus back on the idea of flaying the animal. And we want to bring a Raya Taka to the Machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbanan, where Rabbi Shmuel says you can only flay it up to the breast, the Chum says you can flay the animal all the way. And we want to bring a Raya to the Machlokes from our Sugya about saving Sefer Torah. And the Kakashlach, Hacha Tiltav Hacha Malacha, are you bothered? Our conversation here is a conversation of Muktzah, being metal to Muktzah, money in a tick is Muktzah, and over there it's a conversation of a Malacha de Raisa, flaying, Kagayan de Leika Bailil Ar. We're talking about a case where you don't need the Ar, and since you don't need the Ar, so basically, the Mar's next question, we're going to explain the way the Mar seems to understand this. Since the R was necessary, the Mar is viewing this as a Dover Shein Miskaven. I'm not Mechaven for the R. I don't, the case is I'm not using the R. I don't need the R. And therefore, since I don't need it, the whole Malacha is a Dover Shein Miskaven. In fact, the Mar's obvious question. On Dover Shem Skaven, for Abayi Rav Adami Tavayi, Abayi Rav both say, Meidav Shem B'Sikvei Shleyamas, that by B'Sikvei Shem is guaranteed to happen, that's no longer as a status of Dover Shem Skaven. Dover Shem Skaven is only where it's not guaranteed to happen. If it's guaranteed to happen, then even Rav Shimon agrees that there's no heter. On that, says the Gemara, the Shakalei B'Barzi, we're talking about a case where he's removing it in thin strips, which Rashi explains thin strips because of very thin strips. It's Ein Derech of Sheita B'Kach. It's not the usual way to do Hefshit. It's only an act of Hefshit. It's a Shinoi. It's an unusual manner. And therefore, it's only a Dirabanan. So seemingly, what the Mar is saying is that when you have a Dirabanan, we're not makpin on this psik ratio. But before we even explain that, really, we have to remind ourselves, we had the same exact question a few back, that our Gemara seems to be utilizing Abai and Rav, a psik ratio as far as Dover Shem Skaven, in a case which is no shaykhus to Dover Shem Skaven. This is a classic case of Melacha Shem Tzvich Lagufa. Remember, just to remind ourselves clearly the distinction between the two categories. Dover Shem Skaven is, my intent is to do Act A, and while I'm doing Act A, I may also be doing Act B. It's a separate act that may be accomplished while I'm doing Act A. And if it's guaranteed to happen, then we say it's secretion. It's not considered a separate act. It's guaranteed to happen. It's not a separate act. But the point is, it's still A and B. So for example, I'm digging the simple case. I'm schlepping a bench. My intent is to move a bench from point A to point B. That's my act. My act is moving from point A to point B. I may, in the same motion of doing this, I may also dig a charitz in the ground, a hole in the ground, because it's heavy. It may be hard for me to schlep the table. I may dig a hole in the ground. So that would be Act B. I'm trying to do Act A. I'm not mechavim for Act B, but I may do Act B as well. That's a davish and miskavim. And if it's guaranteed to happen, that's called psikresha. I want to have the dirt for my house to be able to spread and clean up my house. So I'm digging out dirt from the ground, right? In that case, when I dig out dirt from the ground, I'm certainly digging a hole. My intent is not for the hole. My intent is for the dirt in the ground. That is not called a Dover Shein Miskaven. There's no two acts there. There's one act of digging, taking dirt out of the ground. And my intent is, I want the dirt. I don't want it for the purpose of the hole. So that's called a Melacha Shein Tzvich Legufa. So that's two very different things. Our case over here is not going to be a case of Dover Shein Miskaven, where I'm flaying it when I don't need the hide. I'm flaying it just to flay it for the person to be clean. So it's not Dover Shein Miskaven. I'm doing the exact act that I want to do. It's comparable to the case of the dirt, where I'm trying to take out the dirt. It's exactly the act I want to do. The outcome is not the outcome that I necessarily need. I need it for a different reason. Normally, you dig a hole in the ground to get the hole. I'm digging a hole because I want the dirt, but I'm doing the same act just for a different purpose. That's called Malacha Shein Tzvich Legufa. It's a very big difference, and it's very shver that our Gemara, Kivei Geis Asakasha, our Gemara, and we had the similar Gemara a few blocks back, seems to be mixing up the concept of Malacha Shein Tzvich Legufa and Dov Shem Skaven. Kivei Geis holds very shver. Again, the primary nafkamina is once we go to Malacha Shein Tzvich Legufa, which is Machlekes Rishim and Rabbi Yehuda. We have no discussion about psik ratio over there. Psik ratio is the Gesparli Gavi Davi Shem Iskaven. Over here, it's nothing to do with Davi Shem Iskaven. I'm being mechaven for this act. It's a separate p'tur of Machlekes Zich Legufa. Psik ratio shouldn't play a role. That is a key Vegas Kasha. Me'iri Taka learns that's what our Gemara means. Big Chiddush doesn't really fit the word so well, but Miri learns our Gemara means Melachas Ein Tzvicha Legufa, which is Drabanan, and the Gemara was saying that's Melachas Ein Tzvicha Legufa, which is Drabanan, but it still should be Aser. And the Mara on that is at least with Drabanan. The Mara is answering that you're right that Melachas Ein Tzvicha only downgrades Drabanan, and Drabanan is still Aser, but since you're also flaying it in a way where you're doing less than a shear, you're flaying it in a way where you're doing a tiny amount, it's Ein Derech Hefshitu B'Kach, tiny amount at a shot. You're flaying it little strips at a shot, therefore it's a Drabanan on a Drabanan, and therefore it's Mutter. That's how Meiri learns Agamara, but really the biggest chiddush to Meiri is, not just the Drabanan, is that he's interpreting Agamara, which seems to clearly be talking about Darvish and Miskavin, he's interpreting it the way we would have interpreted it, which is, he interprets it as Melachas Ein Tzvicha Gufa. One other point on this, is that Rashi, again, the way we explained this, says why is it considered a non-issue? Why is it a non-issue ultimately? Because you're flaying it in tiny amounts, and Ein Derech Hefshitu B'Kach, which is like a shinui, makes it a double drabanan, another drabanan, and it makes it permissible. Tesis says a little bit different than Rashi. Tesis says that you're not being mafshit like a shear that's chashav enough for afshata, and therefore it's totally mutter. Meaning Tesis is coming to address that's not only mutter, it's not only a shinui, like klachiyad, which makes it not a derisa, but a drabanan, and according to the way we explained the Meiri, it's like a double drabanan, therefore it's okay. Tesis is not even drabanan. It's you're doing less than a shear that's chashav a fling. You're flaying hide less than a certain amount. If you're doing little strips, it's not chashav enough b'chlal. And if it's not chashav enough b'chlal, it's not only not a derabanan, it's not even an iser derabanan, it's not aser b'chlal. That is the way Taisa seems to learn. The bomb kasha Taisa is obviously that since one is pachas mikashir, not aser b'chlal. Pachas mikashir is asmer atayr even. Pachas mikashir, chatzi shir is asmer atayr. We had the Gemara in Daf Ayin Dalad. The Gemara asked, v'chi mutter lafes pachas mikashir. The Gemara spent a few melachas over there. Is a mutter to do a pachas mikashir? And Rashi actually explained that Gemara to mean Hachati Shiyas Matayra. When we go to the Rashi, Hachati Shiyas Matayra, we discuss its relationship to Shabbos. But Rashi says Hachati Shiyas Asma Matayra. That's the Gemara's question itself on Daf Ayin Dalad. How is Tosfos going to approach that Gemara? The Tosfos agrees. The Gemara says Hachati Shiyas on Shabbos is Aser. So why over here flaying less than a shear? Why is that not Aser Bechlal? Shtaka Kasha on Tosfos. So the Sefer Yad David explains. He wants to say like this: the very big aside that the din of Hachati Shiyas Asma Matayra is only by Isurim Deiraisa. A big aside: we have an Isur Raisa, so a chatzi shear is asur b'taira on an Isur Raisa. When it comes to Isur Rabbanan, since even if you do the full shear, you know, it's not really on a biblical level, it's not asur. Obviously, rabbinically, it's asur, but on a biblical level, it's not asur, even when you do the full shear, so therefore, there's no din of chatzi shear when it comes to Drabanans. Over here, we're talking about a case which we said, Melachas Ein Tzvicha Legufa, it already is only a Drabanan, and therefore, Tosfos is saying that since you're not being flaying a shear that's chashiv, it's considered at best a chatzi shear. Chatzi shear on derabanan is not a chatzi shear bechlal, no din chatzi shear at all. By the way, this is actually a concept that on derabanan, since a full shear is not really chayiv anyway, therefore, so chatzi shear is actually the explanation why a person nebuch is unable to fast. He's unable to fast; his body can't handle it. Toxic can't fast. So we know that the two most chametik fasts of the year, Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. The halach is on Yom Kippur, we try to get the person to eat if possible. If it's any doubt of sakana, we don't do it. But if it's possible that he could survive on pachas mekashir, we try to have the person eat pachas mekashir on Yom Kippur. On Tisha B'Av, the place can bring, they don't make him eat pachas mekashir. You just let him eat. Why? The reason is because on Yom Kippur, which is deraisa, so avad. It's funny. Ironically enough, chatzis shear is asma deraisa, but since it's deraisa, the full shear is mamish, a real full fetch chiyav iser. So we try to do at least pachas mekashir, which for this person, of course, is not aser. That's his chiyav. He has to eat. But the point is, you try to do pachas mekashir not to get involved with the full shear is deraisa. On the derabanan, where we're saying even a full shear is not really Usher biblically, that's rabbinically, it's Usher Isa, so we don't even get busy with the distinction between Chatzi Shir and Full Shir, which fits very well with this concept of saying over here that there's no concept of Chatzi Shir Midrabanan. Okay, so that's why there's actually no Kapeda to fast at all for on Tisha B'Av, the fast Drabanan. But again, the explanation for Taisus is saying Chatzi Shir here is permissible, and the logic is because Chatzi Shir on a Drabanan is not going to be an issue. Okay, says the Gemara. But again, circling back to our conversation. So the connection to our Mishnah was that we're not talking about muktzah. We're not bothered that we're comparing seemingly muktzah to flaying an animal, because Legabe, the Isra flaying the animal also, because we're talking about a case where both it's an Ein Tzvicha Leguf, you don't need it, and you're doing a shear less than the normal amount, and therefore it's a double derabanan, so it's in the same category as muktzah, it's also derabanan, not no longer malacha deraisa, and therefore the comparison from our Mishnah to the machlekes of flaying is a valid comparison. We said in the Mishnah that where could you save the Sefer Torah and Sefer Kodesh to? Lecha Masilin said, to where could you save it? We said to a Mavi, that's that's closed, that's according to Rabbanan. Then Beseri says even a mavi that's open. What does it mean mavi closed and open? So we spoke out, we read the Mishnah, that normally mavi is closed and open means if it has two walls and open on two sides, that's called open mavi. If it doesn't have two open sides, that's called the mavi that's closed. But for our purposes, it's pasha that even Beseri, who's saying mavi mefulish is mutter, would never say it's mutter to bring the Sefer Torah into the Sefer Kodesh, into an area that's open on two sides. It too closely resembles which is Rabbim, that can't be what it means. So what does it mean in our context? That's the real Hakdama for the Mar's questions. Hey Khidami Mefulish, Hey Khidami Shane Mefulish. We have a whole sugya in Erev which explains what Mefulish is, and I'm a foolish, but that can't be the Mar holds takes for granted the interpretation here. So what is the interpretation here? Amar Chizda, the Mar's gonna have a few options. Option number one, Shlosh Mechitza Shane Lachayim, Zem Mavi Shane Mefulish. You have three Mechitzas. So the Mavi is closed on three sides. And on the fourth side, you have Shnei Lachayim. You have two Lechis. So not only do you have three walls on three sides, on the fourth side where it's open, you have a Lechi, two posts. That's a mavi that's called enim mefulish that's not open. And shalosh mechitzas lechi echad. If you have the same three walls and only one lechi on the fourth side, zeh mavi mefulish. That would be the case of mavi mefulish. That is how Rav Chizda is learning our Mishnah, the distinction between mavi mefulish and mefulish, where you can bring a sefer Torah according to Rabbanan or even according to Mesera, even when there's only one post. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara first statement, v'tavara alibi Rav Elazar, and both of them are going with Rav Elazar, who holds that when we talk about having lechis, you need plural, you need two lechayims. Says the Gemara, the time we learned the Mishnah, hechsher mavi. The hechsher, the lao carrying in the mavi, b'sham emrim lechi v'kari, you need a lechi and a kaira, that means you need the post, and you need the crossbeam on top, b'sil emrim oy lechi kaira, either or lechi kaira, either lechi or kaira, Rav Elazar Aymer, shnei lechayim, you need two lechis. So our Mishnah is going both sheet to Rabbanan and Rabban Messiah are going according to Rabbi Lezer that normally you need two lechis, and the argument just is, over here, do you need two lechis also to be able to carry into this mavi, or not, was one lechi sufficient? That is Rabbi Chizda's explanation in mavi mefulish, and mefulish for our purposes. Ask Marmalei Rabba, shalish mechitzas v'lechi echad mefulish karis lei, if you have three mechitzas, three walls, and on the one open side, you still have a lechi there, would you call that open? Is that open? And then the Mar's setting up his two questions, but seemingly the same question is really built up on the first question. Same idea. The next mission we're going to have in two lines discusses what food you're allowed to save. Still not even discussing that what you're allowed to do. More lenient to God, specific kind that you're allowed to save. When it comes to food, there's limitations. But if you're telling me that you have three walls plus a lechi, which really, the first question was, that shouldn't be called mefulish, that should be called closed. Number one. Number two, you should be able to save more than just the basic foods, the basic necessities. You should be able to save more than the three meals that the Mishnah is about to tell us. Because there should be no limit, because it should be considered closed mavoi. Elam Rab, therefore, Rabbi says, Shtei mechitzas, shtei lechayim, zeh mavi shtei mefulish. If you have two mechitzas, so you're missing the third mechitza now, according to him. You have two mechitzas and two lechayim, which means a two mechitzas and a lechi on each open side. You have a mechitza, two walls, a mechitza, and on each open side of the mavoi, there is one lechi. That's considered mavi she'ina mefulish, a mavi that's closed, and shtei mechitzas lechi echad, some mefulish. You have two mechitzas, two walls, and on one of the open sides there is a lechi, and one of the entrances, and the other entrances does that entrance doesn't have a lechi at all. That's considered a mavi mefulish, a mavi that's open. And both of these tanoim, Mabesev and Rabbanon are learning according to Behuda, who says, what the time went to the Brisa? Yes, Rahal Kain, big Chiddush, Behuda says, Amr Behuda, Mishesh, Shtevatim, Shesit, and Shusram, one who has two houses, on two sides of Shusram. So you have a private house, and in between is Shusram. Ice Lech, Mikan, Lech, Mikan, he can make a Lechi on each end of the house, on the outskirts of Shusram, a Kermikan, or he puts a Kaira, or he puts a crossbeam on this side and on that side. The Nice of Nice Mamsa, he now enables us to carry within that Shusram in between the two houses. Amrle, Imram, Shusram, and I'm going to say, no, we don't make Erev Amrishis Rabbim in such a fashion. Well, Lechi's a curse. That doesn't help to enclose Erishis Rabbim. Okay, that's the Machlekes Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda over there. And we're saying that both the Tanah of our Mishnah go with Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the discussion of Mavi Mefulish or Einim Mefulish, when you have opening on two sides, and if you have a Lechi on both sides, it's considered closed. A Lechi on one side is considered open. Amalei Abaye says, I don't understand. If you go on Rabbi Yehuda Shita, these Lechis, these curses serve to make it closed. So you have the same question that you asked on Rav Chizda Rabbah, is not a question on you. According to you, according to Rebbe, if you're going in Rebbe Yehuda Shita, that's considered a proper enclosure, so you should be able to save more food. Why dafka the basic three meals that the Mishnah is going to say in a few lines that I'm amazed? Says the Gemara, the same question that Rabbi had on Rav Chizda, the first discussed, what was happening if Rabbi, but saying Rav has Rav Chizda, Rabbi is saying, Rabbi, on your own pshat also, it's a chur, it should be a fully good mavli to be able to carry more stuff into. El atop of Amabez, El Amrav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, Shalish Mechitzas V'lechi, Echad Zeh, Shalosh mechitzas v'lechi echad zem mavish en mefulish. Three mechitzas with a lechi, that's a mavish en mefulish, that's called close. Before we started off with three mechitzas and two lechis. Now saying three mechitzas and one lechi, that's ein mefulish, that's still considered closed. Shalosh mechitzas b'lei lechi, three mechitzas without a lechi at all, zem mavish mefulish, that is the mavish that's considered mavish mefulish. Rafila b'leazar. Now even though before we said Rabbi Lezer holds you need two lechayim always, so one lechi or no lechi should be nothing. Says Amar Rafila b'leazar b'ein lechayim, that typically need two lechis. Hani mili b'leichlo mashkin. That's with regard to saving eichlo mashkin. The madrega of what you need for lechayim is considered is more chamer. However, Abba Sefer Torah b'chad lechisagi. When it comes to Sefer Torah, even Rabbi Lezer agrees, even though normally you need to lechayim, when it comes to Sefer Torah, one lechi is enough, and that's the explanation of our Mishnah. What we're calling mefulish, not mefulish, three walls and one lechi is ain't mefulish, is not open. Three walls and no lechi is considered open, is considered mefulish. Zok the Mishnah matzil and shalosh. We just referenced this Mishnah a few times already. Matzil and mazon shalosh. You're allowed to save enough meals. When you talk about saving food from a fire, the person that Shabbos has a fire in Nebuchadnezzar's house, he's saving it. He's allowed to save food. He's saving the Sifri Kaddish. He's also allowed to save food. How much food? Shalosh Shudas. Enough for three meals on Shabbos. Harei la'adam. That which is fit food to be safe for a person, can be safe for a person. Harei la'bema bema. That which is fit to be safe for bema can be safe for bema. Discussion the first time. When we say harei la'bema bema, does that mean three meals for the bema? You know, a person has a chiv to have shalosh shudas and Shabbos. That's the concept of three meals. A behemah has no chiv of three meals. Are we still saying three meals for behemah? So Ritva says about the not. You have a comma. You're allowed to save three meals. And that's for humans, of course. And what type of food? That which is fit for humans, that which is fit for behemah, but nothing to do with three meals when it comes to behemah. Others want to say, it's Bir Alacha, where he brings this concept, Bir Alacha is you're not allowed to feed oneself until he feeds his animal. A person will feed himself until he feeds his animal. So since he's eating three meals, he would have to feed his animal three meals on Shabbos as well, which is really a pella. Because the idea that you're not allowed to feed yourself until you feed your animals is just that when the animal's hungry, if it's time to eat, then you got to feed the animal first before one feeds oneself. But if the animal already had its fill for the day, if he already had his food, or it's not the time for the animal to eat, there's no chiv to feed the animal punked just because you're feeding oneself. So therefore, the Ritva's malach would be more simple, but the Achronim do bring this other malach that one has to feed his animals before he eats, and therefore, if he's eating three meals, he would have feed the animal three meals as well. Okay, Ketzad? One other deek, by the way, Ksav Sefer says that the halacha that wants to feed his animals before himself does not apply in Shabbos Yontif. So Ksav Sefer, according to Ksav Sefer, his answer is a little bit schwer, but he says it does not apply in Shabbos Yontif. The reason is because the eating that a person does in Shabbos Yontif is a mitzvah. It's an eating of mitzvah. And since eating of mitzvah, that supersedes the chiyuv to feed his animals first, the eating of mitzvah takes precedence. Our mission is takam beduyik. Matzil mazal shashudas. Haroi la'adam, adam. First we focus on adam. Haroi la'bei meima. Then we focus on meima. It's a little bit of a riot, a little bit of a deek, like the Ksav Sefer, but again, it throws a little monkey wrench into our whole answer of three. According to Zachrinim, we're saying you're doing three meals for the behemah because you have to do three meals for the behemah. If you do three meals for yourself on Yontif and Shabbos, you don't necessarily have that lacha anyway. Okay, Ketzah says the Mishnah. Nafud leik lebleil on Shabbos. Let's say the fire broke out on Friday night. Matzil mazal shalosh shudas. He saved enough food for three meals. B'shachris, if the fire broke out on Shabbos, he already had the Friday night meal. So then matzil mazal shalosh shudas. He only saved enough food for two meals. He only has two meals after Shabbos. And if it's b'mincha mazal shalosh shudachas, he saves enough food for one meal. Very clear that the meals of Shabbos are very distinctive. There's supposed to be a Friday night meal, a Shabbos morning meal, and a meal after Mincha, and you can't, let's say, load up and have all three meals Shabbos day, or have, let's say, on a winter Shabbos, you want to eat one meal 5 o'clock right when Shabbos starts, and then have a second meal. Shabbos day is very hot to eat two meals, so Shabbos, later Friday night, at 9 o'clock, have a second meal. No. It's the derech, the setup is one meal Friday night, one meal Shabbos morning, and one meal Shabbos afternoon. Pretty clear in this Mishnah. Rabbi Aimer, Leila Matzila Mazal Shalosh Shudas. Rabbi says you could always save enough food for three meals. That's the Agdar. Once you say that the shear is three meals, it doesn't make a difference at which point the Shabbos he's saving food. He's not saving enough food for three meals. Michti says Gemara. Beteir Katarach. L'chari, what's the issue b'chlal? Food is not muktza. If food is not muktza, what's b'chlal the issue of saving? Save as much food as you want. Amarava, famous Yisrael, Beteir Shadam Bal Amayne. Since a person is bal, he's scared about losing his money, so we have to be very careful. We have to use a very measured approach in what we allow the person to save from his house on Shabbos. Because on the one hand, if you let him save nothing, he'll put out the fire also. If you let him save everything, he'll fight to put out the fire. He gets bull about what's being destroyed. We have to give some sort of agdaris of what he could save, which will not cause him to be over the malach of putting out the fire on Shabbos. And this was the agdaris to save only when he needs for three meals, not more than that. Because he's bull in his mamain. If you let him save more, he'll end up putting out the fire itself. Amalei Abaye, Ella Hadatanya. This that we learned in a braisa. If a person's barrel broke on his rooftop, maybe kli v'nichtachter, he bring another kli and save, put it beneath the barrel to save what's coming out of the barrel. However, that's one kli you can bring. Rashi learns over here, the discussion is about numbers, how many kalim. So you can bring one kli to put it tachter. Uvashli yavi kli achav ilkait, you should bring a second kli to catch the wine that's falling off the roof, or kli achav itzarf, put another kli adjacent to the roof that the wine should go in. Again, Rashi learns it's not so much the act of gathering, the method of gathering, it's the numbers. You're allowed to bring one kli to gather wine, but you can't bring more than one kli to gather wine, because that's enough weight you need. Kli achav yitzarev. So, Hasa Mike Zerika, why can't you bring more kelim there? What's the concern over there? There's no fire there. What's the concern over there? What issue is going to be over that the one with Geyser, he can only bring one kli and not more to salvage the barrel that's broken? Hachinami Zerik, Shami Yavi, Kli Derek Hushas Rabim. Mer says over there too, there's a Gzera, you may come and bring a kli Derek Hushas Rabim. He may forget a Shabbos and bring, once he left to bring more kelim, he may carry a kli through Hushas Rabim to save the wine and therefore be over a Malacha Derbaisa. Says Mar Gufa on this topic, Nishbele Chavis Peshagag, if a barrel breaks on top of rooftop, maybe claim an ichtachta, he can bring a clean next to it and put it beneath it to gather the one that's spilling out to save some wine. You can't bring a second kli and try to grab the wine in midair as it's falling off the roof, kliach bizarre, or another kli to make level the roof. Again, Rashi is learning the main point of here is a second or third. You can't bring an additional kli. That's the main point. The method of how he's saving is not really the focus, even though the Bryce seems to put some emphasis on the myth, the way it's being saved. But okay, we're going to focus on what Rashi's pshat, and the focus is extra kalim. So he's only allowed to save one kli's worth. What if he has guests? Now he needs more wine than one kli's worth. Maybe kliach, then he indeed is allowed to bring another kli v'kalit and gather, catch more wine. Kliach bizarre, or bring another kli and put it along the roof and let the wine drip in from the roof into this kli. Now, he should do a trick and bring another kli and then go and invite guests afterwards. Let me save more wine and then invite guests. And the trick over there would be the guests would actually be full. They wouldn't be so hungry, but he says, I had guests and therefore I had to make sure there's wine for them. They're not going to drink it. Okay, I saved extra wine. He can't make such a trick. Ella, but you know what trick he could make? Ella Yasmin Vechel Gilkite. He could make a trick where he invites the guests first and then he goes and then he's able to save extra wine. Veimer Yim Bekach says the Gemara, but don't make a trick meaning to invite guests that you know for sure have already eaten. To invite guests that are full, that aren't drinking any wine, that's not called inviting guests. That's a joke that you shouldn't do. You could make a trick. So the more wants to say now, let's say the machlekes, whether or not you can make a trick to save extra wine, is the same machlekes as Rabbi Lazar and Bishua. What's the machlekes? Tanya, Eisev Espenai. We have machlekes by Eisev Espenai. The halacha is an animal and its son, its child, its baby animal cannot be shechted the same day. And it fell into a bar. We're talking about on Yom Tov where you let a shecht an animal. So they both fell into the pit the same day. They both fell into the pit on Yom Tov. So you want to rescue the animal for the pit. So if you're going to shecht it for Yom Tov, you're allowed to take it out of the pit for Yom Tov purposes to shecht it. Rabbi Lazar Aimer, Malas Rishon Amas Shecht it. Lift up the first one with intent to shecht it on Yom Tov. Vasheni Yisla Parnas Mekayimai, Bishol Shemas. And the second one, you are going to give it sustenance in its place that shouldn't die. So you lift up the first one with intent. I stress intent with intent to shecht it. Indeed, you shecht it for Yom Tov, and the second one you have to feed in its place. You cannot bring it up. Rabbi Shua says I can make a trick. Malas Rishon Amas Shecht it ve'ina shecht it. I'll lift up the first one with intent to shecht it, and I won't actually shecht it. Umar, and then I'll say, you know what? I want to use the second animal now. Umar malas sheni, and then I'll pick up the second one. And now that they're both out, I could now choose which one I want to shecht. What's that shecht? What's that shecht? So I'm doing a little bit of a trick for tzar bal chayim in order to protect the animals' pain. I'm doing a trick to take out both animals because I may shecht either one. So Rabbi Shua is allowing for the trick, and Rabbi Lazar is not allowing for the trick. So l'chari, this machlekes Rabbi Shua Rabbi Lazar should be the same machlekes as the machlekes by bringing another kli and making a trick to gather more wine for these guests that may or may not really need the wine. Says the Gemara, isn't it the same? She does that. Rabbi Yehuda allows the trick. It's like Rabbi Shua allows the trick, and Rabbi Lazar doesn't allow the trick. Like Tanakamu does not allow the trick by the wine. Says the Gemara, we'll stop at this. Memai tuma atkan like come Rabbi Lazar hasam defshe b'parnasa. Rabbi Lazar only said over there by the animal. Maybe he said by the animal you have to leave in its place because you can still feed it. It's not comfortable for the animal, but you can feed in it because it's surviving the pit. Avach lehev shaloi over here by the wine we attack without resorting to the trick. The wine is going to be lost forever. Maybe he would allow a trick. So maybe Rabbi Lazar does not allow the trick by the bema. Yes, allow the trick by the wine. And the flip side, back on the come Rabbi Shua, who allows the trick by the Bema, Mishum Dik Tzar Bal Chaim, maybe that's why he allows the trick. Alocha by the wine, which is just a monetary thing. Maybe he doesn't allow this trick. And therefore, the Gemara is saying the two machlekes are not necessarily tallies of that. We cannot compare to machlekes then. And Mirt Hashem, we'll pick it up from over here tomorrow, where we discuss further dinim of what one saves on Shabbos, and we really get into the ideas of preparing proper foods, Lekavod Shabbos. Have a wonderful day.